Well, my goodness. Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today? No, I asked how you're doing today, not for a shout. Come on, just tell me. You doing well? Nice to see you. It's great to see you in the house. Well, who's excited to be here? That's what I want to hear you shout. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord just one more time? Alrighty, I guess we're ready then.
Freedom.
Now let's give God the highest praise. Just repeat after me. Sing. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because God is unstoppable. Am I right? Can you go give somebody a handshake? Say, my God's unstoppable.
We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore.
Let me see your hands up if you believe that.
Unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God,
one more time,
nothing shall be. praise forevermore.
Jesus,
unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
If you believe that absolutely nothing is impossible, if you know, if you're a testimony today that nothing is impossible for God, I want you to just put your hands up in this place and say that with me. Say,
nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. You'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, I'll say that today.
Nothing shall be impossible. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable.
We'll shout your praise.
We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. We go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
We just have everyone hand up right now. My favorite thing to do in the world is just to thank God for what he's given me. So just go ahead and start thanking him out loud for what he's given you. Thank him for what he's done, where he's brought you from. Go ahead and thank him for where he's going to bring you in faith. Thank him for the breakthrough that you need right now. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for breakthrough in this place.
You deserve.
Center of it.
somos. I want every hand lifted in this room. Every hand lifted up this morning. In the name of Jesus, right now, I release even right now a spirit of joy in this place in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I even loosen in the name of Jesus a spirit of peace in Jesus' name. That Father God, your house, your children, Lord, we don't have to walk defeated. We can walk in victory. We don't have to walk in sorrow and sadness, but Lord, we can walk in joy. Hallelujah. This morning, I speak that peace. I speak that joy everlasting. Because that joy of the Lord, it shall be our strength. I loosen that peace in this house this morning. No matter what we went through this week, no matter what we're going to endure, even this coming week, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for that joy. I thank you for that peace that, God, no matter what looks like around us, Lord God, you always have us set in standard, Lord God. You have us postured and positioned. The Father, we're going to stay standing at the end of the day. Jesus. That name that is above every name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. There's someone here this morning. There's pain that's in your left shoulder, in the back portion of your shoulder. In the name of Jesus right now, I speak healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Whatever the root is, whatever the cause is, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak the blood of Jesus. I speak that healing power right now, the dunamis power. In Jesus' name, and I command it to be healed and made whole, never to be a pain again in Jesus' name. You shall feel it. There's heat that you're feeling right now, and it's starting to go away. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for our lives. We thank you, Father, we can come to your house, and we can serve an awesome and amazing Father. One that we can lift our hands to without even getting in trouble. One that we can come liberally to you, Lord God, and say, we love you and we honor you. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for being here with us today. And Lord, as the message is preached today, Lord, as your word comes forth, I'm praying, God, in the name of Jesus, that God, you're going to stir our spirits. That Father God, you're going to shake us. You're going to loose us up. That Father, we're going to be changed, Lord God. That Father, we're not just going to hear mere words coming from the pulpit, but Father God, we're going to hear words from the throne room of heaven, and knowing that God, you want to bring change to every single one of us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody to turn to the person next to you, whether it's to the left or to the right, or both ways. And I want you to say, I love you this morning. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you this morning. Even if that person's not lovable, I want you to say, I love you this morning.
Hey, dude, you want some candy?
Oh, pizza.
I got some candy.
No, I'm pizza.
Listen, all I got is candy. That's it. Candy, I don't have any pizza. Okay?
Hey, we got Harvest Fest coming up. It's October 31st right here at the church. It's a Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be doing games indoors from 6 to 7, and then from 7 to 8, we're doing trunk or treat. So make sure you donate your candy. Also, bring your trunks, put some treats in them, and let's bless these kids. Again, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there.
Hey, man, listen, you need to know Jesus, okay? Listen, come on, it's either turn or burn. You need to know Christ, come on. Hey, man, listen, I got a quick question. God forbid anything ever happen to you, but the moment that you take your last breath, do you know where you're going to be?
Hey, we got Outreach Saturday coming up November 4th. We're meeting right here at the church in classroom number 1 at 12 p.m. This is an opportunity where we're learning on how we can take the gospel message to our community and to this world. So make sure you come out for Outreach Saturday. Again, it's November 4th at 12 p.m.
Next Sunday, you don't want to miss it. Be here and bring a friend. John Avanzini is going to be our special guest next Sunday. This is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that Pastor Spencer has gone to a lot of effort to bring this man in, to impart to us, to pray for us, and to bring great wisdom. He is an international speaker, well-renowned and famous across the whole world. So make sure you bring a friend next Sunday, October 22nd.
All right, you guys. Pastor Chad is out of town. We need to come up with a good theme while he's away. What?
You're not Pastor Chad.
Yeah, he's in Mexico. Do you have any ideas, Marcus?
Flannel.
Can you elaborate?
The theme should be flannel.
Any other ideas besides Marcus?
Ooh, how about a Fear Factor night?
Yes!
We should serve apple crisp and ice cream.
Mark! Actually, that's not a bad idea. But let's keep building off of Fear Factor. I want some really serious, gross-out games to get people's attention.
Yeah, but we're gonna need a prize to actually motivate people to come. We're gonna need, like, 12 people, maybe?
You think $150 is enough to motivate people?
Oh yeah, that'll work.
Awesome. Let's do that then. Marcus, what do you think?
What is it, Marcus?
Pastor Chad, where are you? Randall's ruining everything.
Good morning, family! Well, I can hear Carla screaming up here, but I think you guys can yell louder than Carla. Good morning, family! Welcome to church this morning. I want to first start off by saying that, of course, our pastors, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda, as well as Pastor Chad and Pastor Jay, they're down in Mexico, and we have also a team of people with them. And we want to give God praise, something we've been praying for and seeking God for. And just we know that there is movement in Campeche, Mexico. So throughout this weekend, we have seen roughly around 500 salvations. Can you believe that? Isn't that awesome? So we want to continue to lift them up in prayer, obviously, as they're traveling home tomorrow. But praise God through Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth and the Crusade team and the people down there helping. We just want to say thank you, God, for being a blessing and through you guys. Listen, this is about our family being a part of what's happening down in Campeche, Mexico. So over 500 salvations, plus Pastor Chad's been preaching down there. He's been down there for about over a week, actually. So it's been really awesome. So I want to give you the news. We're going to welcome back them this week. But first off, we want to welcome all the guests to the house this morning. If you are a first-time guest, I'm not going to pull you out or anything, but if you want to raise your hand up ever so slightly. If you're a first-time guest, or maybe you brought a guest and they don't want to raise their hand, raise it for them. There we go. We got some hands going up. Can we give our guests a hand clap? We have a gift bag for you. We've got a gift in there for you and some information. And right after the service, we have a guest reception, and that's to your right. So going out the door, you take a left and down the hallway. We have a guest reception right afterwards where you can meet some of the staff and leaders here at the church, and we can love on you and get to know you better. We want to welcome all the live streamers. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Live by Live Stream. Can we give the live streamers a hand clap? We know some of you are at work. Some of you are way out of town. We want to thank you for joining us. You're just as much of our family, extended, as we are here in the house. As you also saw in through the last few weeks, we've been talking about Harvest Fest. We got Harvest Fest that's coming up at the end of this month, October 31st. It's a Tuesday night starting at 6 p.m. But one of the things we want to do is, as a family, we want to be a blessing to the children that are coming through. So if you can't do a trunk, we want to do candy donations. But coming around, we're going to be actually passing around clipboards this service. So you're going to see a clipboard come by and land on your lap. If you would like to do a trunk or treat, donate your trunk. And that means that you park your car, you open your trunk, and you put some candy in it. Amen? Everybody's saying amen. Y'all aren't going to do a trunk, are you? All right, listen, we got a clipboard. We want people. We need people. That's what I'm going to say. We need people that have a trunk and can put candy in it. And listen, this is an opportunity you can dress up. I mean, you can't beat that. Thank you. Somebody at least got it. All right, so listen, we got a clipboard coming around. It's going to be coming in your lap. Make sure you sign up for Trunk or Treat. If you cannot do your trunk, please donate some candy. Amen? All right, Pastor Cody.
You guys love Pastor Dan. He's such a goofball. I was waiting for the drummer to hit the doo-doo-doo, but he missed it. For him, not me, man. No, I'm really excited about Harvest Festival. It's an amazing opportunity to reach out to our community, let them know that Jesus loves them. So if you want to play a part in that, go ahead and put your name down. One of the things that internationally that happens in October is called Pastors Appreciation Month. And we're in October, friends. And I'm really, really excited that this year we get to celebrate our pastors on the last Sunday of the month. And man, the amount they pour out, I mean, I'm sure almost everybody's probably gotten those Facebook messages like, I miss you. If you never miss, just don't come on a Sunday if you want a Facebook message. Okay? That's the trick. But the amount they pour out, the amount that they love, the amount that, seriously, they just want you built up. Not building a huge church, but building up individual people in the body of Christ is really their heart. And we've all seen it. We've all been a part of it. And we've been touched by it. So I just want to encourage you, the last week of this month, and I'm not saying you got to give them a $12 trillion check and go in debt on your credit card or anything weird like that, but we just want to bless them and let them know that we love them, we care about them. It's not a weird His Tabernacle thing. This is an international thing to just say we love you and we thank you for the sacrifice that you've made so that we can have life. It's really cool. Paul actually said, he said, we're experiencing physical death so you can have spiritual life. That's so cool because that's really the heart and the motion of a pastor is physical death so that they can have spiritual life. Now, with all that being said, yes, Pastor Rhonda is not here, so that means I get to talk about money this morning. And I know most of the time we just go into that spot where we turn our brain off. We're like, oh, here we go again. But I'm going to be real short. I've been reading a book by a man named Dr. Rabbi Lappin. And oh my goodness, this guy is mind-blowing with the principles, biblical principles he's going through in his book, Thou Shall Prosper. He brought up two that just absolutely wrecked me lately, and I want to share them with you. He was first talking about Cain and Abel, and it was really cool because we know that Cain and Abel both gave an offering, that Abel's offering was accepted by God. Actually, the Bible says that it was respected by God, which means he turned his eyes towards it. And then we know that Cain brought an offering that was not respected. And that simply meant that God turned his eyes away from his offering. And it's really cool because it's sad, actually, that Cain, because of this offering, would go on and murder his brother, showing that there was a massive heart issue. And I think we saw the heart issue even with the offering. But it's really crazy that because of his heart issue, because of the murder, God actually put a curse on him that every time he would till the land that it would not produce, that he could sweat and sweat and sweat and it would not produce. And it's really crazy because if you go all the way back to when Cain was born, his name actually meant to acquire. And we know that Cain acquired by being a farmer, by planting, by sowing, by toiling in the field, by sweating, by turning those things over. So it's wild to me that because of Cain's heart issue, because of his issue, he was not able to acquire how he had always been acquiring. That he would now have to till in a land that wouldn't produce what it was supposed to. He brought another really crazy contrast with Abraham out of Genesis chapter 22. We know that Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. He was a promised son, and it was really powerful. But God looked at him and said, Look, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. Can you imagine being Abraham? Like, but God, this is like the connection piece to my promise with you. This is my greatest possession. This is the greatest thing that's happened. This is my son. And you want me to sacrifice him? It's crazy because it doesn't say that he argued with God about it and found it in the Bible and then finally submitted to it. It says that immediately when he woke up in the morning that they went on a three-day journey. And during this three-day journey, it's wild because he was going around throughout and finally found the mountain. And when he found the mountain, he went to the bottom of it and he left the donkey and the servants and he went to sacrifice or to offer up the most prized possession that he had. But it's really cool because Rabbi Lapin brought out the fact that in Judaism, that a donkey could mean a donkey or it could represent materialism. And that what actually Abraham was doing was leaving materialism, was leaving his ties to the world and a full sacrifice to God. That one blew my mind. Like, oh my goodness. We see how... I'm not a beatboxer. I don't know what's going on. We see on one hand that Cain had this heart issue, and because he had a heart issue and didn't give the sufficient sacrifice and reacted out of his heart issue with murder, that now the land he would work wouldn't produce. But we see the flip side with Abraham, that he was willing to leave the materialism, leave everything at the bottom of the mountain, and go up to the top and sacrifice his son. Pastor Andrew would call that the demon of technology. I'll just start yelling. I don't need the mic. But it's so crazy to me, the difference of the two men, that one would leave materialism and give the greatest sacrifice. And because of so, he had a great, great covenant cut with him. So today, I want to challenge you inside of the offering that it's really about the heart. You can be like Abraham and say, look, I know that I have a prized possession in money. I know I have these prized things that I work hard for. But I'm going to turn my back on materialism and look all the way to God inside of obedience, even if it makes me uncomfortable. Or maybe today, saying, you know what, I feel a little bit like Cain. I've been working hard. I've been plowing the field. But it's not producing what I believe that it should. I want to challenge you to give that offering that God has asked. That's that simple 10%, that tithe. And today, if we can do that, I believe that God's going to honor. It's the only place he said to challenge me and test me. And he will become faithful. He will follow through, just like he has every other time. If we can trust him with our eternity, I believe we should be able to trust him with our money. If we can all stand to our feet, we're going to give our tithes and offerings today. We have a statement that we always make in the house found out of Deuteronomy 28. And I'd like to say it together this morning, but please don't just say it for the sake of saying it. Please make it a declaration over your life. We ready? No? Maybe? A couple people are ready? You ready? I'm blessed going in. No. We just talked about a declaration over your life. Ready? I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going
in. You sound good. I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed
in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my basket.
Oh my goodness, the blessing's going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Why? Why? Do you know how you know you know how you prove you're a child of God? By your obedience to the Word of God. Let's give our tithes and offerings. But we're going to just do a little bit of time killing here, okay? Our guest speaker has decided that he has to go to the bathroom, the restroom. So, you know, this is fun because usually it's me that's getting called out for going to the bathroom. Oh, never mind. He's actually not going to the bathroom. There's something else happening that I'm unaware of. But we're still staring at me. Oh, we got that now. Never mind.
Church. So, we love you. The babies. Miss Javi, that's her baby boy. Man, this place is already what the numbers were last night already. So we're very excited what God is doing, and we're believing for many souls. I think the first night, between 150 and 200 souls were saved. 1,300 people were in the building. And tonight, we're just believing for double the amount of people. And double the amount of salvations. So let me take you inside. They're doing their thing right now. You ready? Let me flip this around. Oh, I don't know if I can flip it around. So here we go. Oh, here's a great pastor. I'm going to preach at his church tomorrow morning. Say hello. Hola.
Hola, hola.
Hola. Amen. They're very good. So I'm going to preach at his church tomorrow morning. That's Pastor William.
you know we love you. Pastor Obi's going to bat it out of the park today. We know that. We love you so very much. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you're praying for us. We love you. Have an awesome church. Have an awesome church service. I know God's Spirit's going to touch and change you. We love you. And we'll be home tomorrow night. See ya. Rock solid faith. Remember, step one.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Give it up for our senior pastor. Come on, come on. Stand to your feet. Come on, come on. Stand to your feet. Come on, give it up for our senior pastors. Yeah. Can I have a little bit more in the monitor, please? We're just so thankful for them. They are in Mexico right now. As you guys can tell, almost 500 souls have been saved already in 2 days. No. Stay standing. Stay standing. And today, pastor's preaching at 5 different services. How powerful is that? So, Father, we thank you right now for the apostle of this house. We thank you, Father, for the entrusting, the equipping, and the empowering as they are away. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the same miracle-working power that's in Campeche, Mexico, will flood 16 Level Acres Drive right now in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, move in the name of Jesus. Father, we get out of the way for you to have your way in Jesus' name. Now stay standing. Let's just lift up our hands, get back into an attitude of worship, because guess what? He truly does deserve our praise. Come on, do you really believe that? He truly does deserve our worship. So come on now, lift your hands. It's simple. 3 words, come on. You deserve it. Come on, lift your hands. Close your eyes.
You
don't worry about the person next to you. Just stir up the atmosphere. Come on, stir it up.
You deserve it.
Come on, come on, come on. Yeah.
You deserve it.
Yes, he deserves it. Yes, he deserves it. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. For you this week, I need you to give him a hand clap of praise that will tear this roof off. If he's done one thing for you in this place, if he has woke you up this morning, if he got you to church this morning, you found a seat in the house of God. Come on, come on. There are some people who didn't make it. They went to bed last night, take it today for granted. But come on, you are here. You are here. You have breath.
And the Bible declares, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's not who has the most money. It's not who looks cutest. It's not who's driving the fastest car. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you have breath, on the count of three, tear this roof off. 1, 2, 3. Think of the goodness of Jesus. It does something inside of me. Now, as you all have your seats, this may be a very awkward presentation to you for a Sunday service. We go from singing Unstoppable God to freedom to He's at the center to He deserves it to announcements to offering. And now you are staring at a funeral. I want to encourage you with the topic of my sermon today, which is stop the funeral. Without knowing it this morning, you came to crash a funeral. I know that sounds weird. I know that sounds crazy. But in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17, my Jesus did it. So it's okay for you and I to do the same. Amen? Amen? So turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. Let me set the stage for you. See, in this story, Jesus is coming from afar. And as he's coming, he sees this scene of a widow who has lost her husband, but now has to bury her son. What's interesting is that the Bible leaves out her name because, unfortunately, I believe in the kingdom of God. When so many of us are in the trenches, we begin to identify with our pain instead of our purpose. So instead of saying, hello, my name is your birth name, now it's, hello, my name is pain. Hello, my name is fear. Hello, my name is depression. Hello, my name is widow. You have to understand that culturally speaking, back then it was not okay to be a widow because your husband was your sole provider. So as you became a widow, now all his debts became your debts. All his bills became your bills. And the house that you will furnish, clean, and cook in is now about to be repossessed. Oh, but there's hope if you had a son. That perhaps he would go and work every day, provide for himself, and provide for you. But as the story goes, this widow is out of luck. You may be thinking, well, she can go back to her home. But you see, back then, they took the Bible literally. Come out of your father's house. Which meant that she was not even welcome back in her parents' house. She has nowhere to turn. She is drowning in debt externally, and she is mourning internally. Let me ask you a question. What is your response when both the provider and the promise is taken from you? Oh, it's one thing for the provider to go, but what about your promise? God, I thought you said you will withhold no good thing. I thought you said no death will come to my family. God, I thought you said everything would be good if I loved you. Now you've taken both my provider and my promise. So many of us in this place, there's a widow in us. It may not be a husband or a wife, but there's something in you that at one point or another, the provider was taken, or maybe the promise. This is how the world reacts when the provider or the promise is taken from them. Would it shock you that there are 350 million people worldwide that claim to have depression? And in the United States alone, 15 million. Would it shock you that anxiety is 44 million people in America? Would it concern you that the suicide rate is 13 people for every 100,000 in America? Would it concern you that in the past 12 weeks, over 25 million people ages 12 and older have said, I have engaged in substance abuse? Would it shock you that 6.6 million people say, I depend on alcohol to make it through the day so I don't kill myself? Would it shock you that they only say 50% of marriages are going to make it, but out of that 50% that don't make it, 74% claim to be Christian? The world is crumbling because they can't stand having the provider or the promise taken from them. But look at you. You woke up this morning. There's a widow inside of you. There's a provider that was taken. There was a promise that was threatened. But you still said, you know what? I refuse to be a statistic. I will be a survivor. Ooh. This story has three miracles across three people. And here's the first miracle. There's a miracle in the survivor. Look at you. You had the audacity to wake up this morning, put on your face, put on your clothes, drive to the house of God. You don't even know if you have enough gas to make it back. You don't know if you have enough food in the fridge to eat lunch today. You don't even know if you're going to have money tomorrow. But you said, I refuse to be a statistic. I'm a survivor. I'm looking at a room full of, I did not come to preach to nobody that wants to be cute. I have one rule when I preach. You better speak up or leave. I need to hear your mouth, because the power of life and death resides in your tongue. So either on your tongue is your future or your funeral. There's already one happening right now. We don't need a second one, okay? I need y'all to speak up. Y'all with me? Yeah. I'm looking through this room, and there are survivors across the entire place. We have a lady on the front row. Guess what? Being pregnant almost killed her. And she was audacious enough to say, I did it once. God can do it again. She's a survivor. I see single mothers in this place. The man left you. He's not paying child support. He's not helping with diapers. He's not helping with formula. But you've been holding it down for over 10 years. You woke up this morning and you said, I'm tired. I want to sleep in. But guess what? There's a future. It's not my child. I've got to get them to the house of God. You are a survivor. Oh, come on. You are a survivor. We have a prayer partner on the front lane. A vehicle had hit her. But guess what? What can a vehicle do to a woman whose prayers move mountains? She's a survivor. Oh, come on now. Make some noise in this place. She is a survivor. I need all the survivors in this place. Get on your feet and make some noise for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. It should have killed you. It should have crippled you. It should have taken you out. It should have sidelined you. You should have been broke, beat down, disgusted, looking gross. But guess what? You made it, baby. Come on. Give yourself a pat on the back. Say, I made it. So this widow is stuck in this situation. Because remember, the provider is gone and the promise is about to be buried. Then the Bible says, Jesus comes on the scene. See, first there's a miracle in the survivor, but then there's a miracle in the interruption. Let me ask you a question. Is your schedule set up to fit God, or does God have to fit into your schedule? Because oftentimes, I don't want to be interrupted by you, O Lord. You saved me. You healed me. You provided for me. But don't you dare interrupt me. In fact, I deserve to be in mourning and pain, O Lord. How dare you interrupt my funeral? How dare you interrupt my pity party? Can I get real? Pastor Dan, how dare you call me? I'm mourning. Pastor, how dare you inbox me? I'm grieving. You don't understand the loss I've gone through, Pastor. You up here looking nice in your little Ford truck, and your wife is looking up here pretty and all, and you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. Yeah. That's what some of y'all say. I don't have time for God to interrupt me, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you, the interruption is to take your pain away. But wait. You want to say, I need that pain. But here's the thing. The pain is not to crush you. It's to promote you. Because you see, now that Jesus is on the scene, her identity is about to change. Her purpose is about to change. Her future is about to change solely because she allowed Jesus to interrupt. She had every right to say, Jesus, don't you dare come near this funeral. In fact, this is not your seed. This is mine. Stay away. Let me prove it. When Jesus went back to his own hometown, he said he could only do a few miracles. He refused to impose himself even where he was born, which means Jesus will not impose himself on you. But I'm here to tell you, there is power when he imposes. Let me tell y'all a story about my life. Senior year in college, everybody wants to get a job. So it was November, first week of November. I got a job offer. It was awesome. They flew me out, picked me up in the limo. I was like, where do I sign? You pick me up in the limo, it's a done deal. Where do I sign? So I signed, of course. And life was good. I was like, I can coast senior year. I'm good. 5 weeks later, I'm watching on the news, and that same company has gone under. Fired half their staff, rescinded all job offers. And now I have an interruption in my life. I'm not happy. I was going to Idaho, had the house picked out, had the car picked out, signing bonus was spent. I'm good. But the Lord said, can I interrupt you? So let me tell you what happened. The last week of school, I get a call from Kennedy Valve in Elmira, New York. Now, I grew up in the suburbs, and I was like, where is Elmira? I start driving. I was like, why are all these cows here? Everybody got pickup trucks. This is weird. And I'm there on Route 17. I'm just like, every exit is 15 minutes apart. What is this? So I pull up to the interview, and it goes well. And I call my mom, and I said, Mom, there's too many crazy white people here. I can't do this. I cannot do this. And she says, you ain't coming back to my house, so you got to do what you got to do. So I took, mind you, interruption. I take the job. After some time, I'm looking for a church. I tried a few churches in Corning, and just didn't jive with my spirit. Then I went to a Chinese restaurant because, amen. or you can eat buffet, hey. And as I walk in, there's a flyer for a hip-hop concert at this church called His Tabernacle. And I was like, what church in this white people area is going to have a hip-hop concert? I'm there. I mean, I pulled up to that church so fast, I was like, this church must be doing it right. I walked in. It was on a Saturday night. It was powerful. I came in the next day. I sat on that side right where Josh Miller is, sat in front of Corinne Spencer, and I rebuked her the entire time that she was talking. I didn't know that she was pastor's daughter. I felt bad afterwards. During meet and greet, pastor comes down, makes a beeline for me, and says, son, you are called to this house. Now, I'm used to the prophetic, and my spirit connected immediately. Never looked back. Been going to this church since. The week after I started to come to this church, Jeremy Palko gives me a phone call. He says, hey, I'm from the church. Want to take you out for some coffee, get to know you, because that's what we do here. We love people. I went out, and I mean, I fell in love with their family. And their daughter at the time wanted me to take her up to see her former babysitter. Took her up to Rochester, met the former babysitter's boyfriend. The boyfriend has some mutual friends. I met those mutual friends, and one of those mutual friends was Tara Dieterle. And I said, oh my goodness, you fine. We don't have this in Elmira. I'm taking you back. Married her, have two kids in this house. And then I had a corporate job, and the Lord interrupted me again to come and start the Bible school full time. And I said, Lord, it's going to be a 55% pay cut. I like nice things. And the Lord said, it's okay, I got you. Interrupted my life again. And here we are. We have, between all of our programs, almost 40 students that are being filled up with the power of God and learning about Jesus every day. But hey, none of that would have been okay if I said, God, you can't interrupt me. Pastor has told the story time and time again. He has been interrupted time and time again to start this church. And he will say no and no. But could you imagine if Pastor said, God, you cannot interrupt me? Where would you be today? Who here has been personally touched by Pastor's love? Could you imagine that being void in your life? I want to challenge you to allow the King to interrupt you. Oh, I know it's going to be hard. Some of y'all are going through your mind right now. Well, I can't give that up. That which you refuse to give up. Uh-oh, here we go. What you refuse to allow God to interrupt has now become your new God. And now that thing must now provide for you. This church will always be here. But if you walk on out of the anointing, you cannot be provided for anymore. I'm not talking about materially. I mean that void in your spirit that says no matter how much money, no matter how much girls, no matter how much whatever it is, I still feel a void. It's because you will not allow God to interrupt you. So now this is where the story gets fun. Verse 14 says, 13, Jesus comes up and touches the coffin. And the people carrying the coffin stand still. Let me tell you this one thing before I move forward. There were some people whose sole assignment in life is to carry you to your funeral. Uh-oh, everyone's like, what friend is that? They come into your life at the right time when you start making money, when you get that nicer house, when you have that car, and they used to ride the bus with you, but now you got a car. And now they want to be your friend, but guess what? They are waiting for you to fall so they can carry you to the funeral with a smile on their face. But I send the word of God right now to every person that has an assignment on their life to carry you to your funeral prematurely, and I curse it in the name of Jesus. For the Bible said that when Jesus came, they stood still. It is time to speak to those people that have an assignment on your life and tell them, stop! You must stand still. There's a miracle in the survivor. There's a miracle in the interruption. And then there's a miracle in the seed. Ooh. So here's what the Bible says. Y'all need to go read the story at home. It's an awesome story. Luke chapter 7, verse 14 says, then Jesus touched the coffin, but spoke to the boy. Jesus touched the coffin, but spoke to the boy. Shared this with my Bible school students, and they thought it was cool. So I'm going to say it here. Stop trying to bury things that are merely only asleep in your life. Stop trying to bury things that are merely only asleep in your life. You know there's a power inside of you. You know there's an anointing inside of you. There's a business inside of you. There's a marriage inside of you. There are children inside of you. But every time you hit a roadblock, you now want to say, I would rather sweep it underneath the rug and bury it instead of letting Jesus interrupt. as Jesus touches the coffin, he speaks to the boy, and then he says, young boy, arise. Two things. Your seed still has youth. He says, young boy. Look, I love the word. If he says young for a reason, it's in there for a reason. Your seed is not dead. You are not too old. You have enough education. You have enough anointing. You have enough word. You have enough power residing in you. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Stop speaking death to your seed. Your seed still has youth. It's not too late. You have not messed up too many times. And then he said, boy, arise. Then the Bible says the boy popped up and began to speak, which tells me this, number two, your seed not only has youth, but your seed has a voice. Stop trying to muzzle your seed. Let your seed speak. What is that thing you've been speaking death to that today you've got to stop and start to speak life to? The boy popped up and began to talk to his mother. Bible said he was presented to his mother. They began to converse. Oh, then check this out. Then the Bible said the message, the miracle, the funeral that was now interrupted was spread through all Judea. So your seed has youth, it has a voice, and is going to the nations. Oh, come on now. Do not think that 16 level acres drive is where your seed stops. Do not think that business inside of you is confined to Chemung County. Stop thinking that. Begin to think big. You're going to the nations. You're going to the world. Nobody else wants to go with me? You're going to the nations. You're going to the world. It's fine. I'm going to preach to you right here. You're going to the nations. You're going to the world. Your business will take off. In the name of Jesus, your children shall not die, but they shall live to tell of the goodness of the Lord. They're going to college, and I prophesy it will be debt free in the name of Jesus. Come on now. Your parents will not die prematurely. That sickness is shriveling up right now in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you stopped trying to bury a seed. You say, get up in the name of Jesus. Speak to that seed. Come on. Prophesy to that seed. Come on. Tell that seed it is too early for you to die. I cancel the funeral procession. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare in Jesus' name, it is too soon. It's not time for you to quit. It's not time for you to give up. You need to go back to that funeral home, ask for a refund. I need a refund on my joy. I need a refund on my praise. I need a refund on my anointing. That house y'all took from me, I need a refund on that. The clothes I have to give away to buy food, I need a refund on that. Come on now. You may have lost that boy or that girl. You need a refund on your joy. You need a refund on your marriage. Come on, come on. You need a refund in the name of Jesus. I got a call from a friend yesterday. The government gave her a refund. She said, I wasn't even expecting it. But see, that's the power. What happens when you allow him to interrupt you? You don't have to expect it. It's not always out of need you get blessed. It's out of covenant. You're supposed to be blessed. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who causes me to triumph. The word cause merely means this. It's in my DNA. I can't lose. It is impossible for me to lose because he causes me to triumph. There's a miracle in the survivor. There's a miracle in the interruption. And there's a miracle in your seed. Every person standing to their feet. This is your season. This is your season. I'm tired of attending spiritual funerals. I'm tired of attending spiritual wakes. I know you're tired of planning your funerals. It's as if every week you have to plan another one. Every week something else comes up and you say, it's easier for me to bury it. But today, I pray this word gave you strength, that no longer shall you be widow, but every provider and promise is coming back to you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I didn't understand a word you said, but I know this, I'm dead inside and I need this Jesus you're talking about. Something leaped in you when I say Jesus touched the coffin, spoke to the boy and he got up. Something in you said, I need this Jesus. If that's you and you're in this place and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to challenge you to raise your hand. Come on, come on. Lift your hand in this place. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on. Lift it high. Lift it high. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Amen. Amen. Be bold. I'm going to challenge you one more step. I'm going to challenge you to come up to this altar right now. If you need to grab the person next to you, that's okay. Come on. Keep on clapping for them. If you raise your hand, come on down. Come on down. If you want, raise your hand. I will come and get you myself. It's okay. If you want, raise your hand. I will come get you myself. There is nothing more important than this moment right here. If you raise your hand and you want to serve the King of Kings and you need somebody to stand with you, I'll do it myself. If that's you, come on, raise your hand one more time. One more time. Come on. Come on. Raise your hand. I will get off this platform. I'll take off my jacket, do whatever it takes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. One more call. This is your last opportunity. The Father is calling you. If that's you and you want to receive the King, Jesus, as your Savior, lift your hand right now. Amen. I'm coming for you. Come on, clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Hallelujah. Take up to the front. Come on, come on. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Come on, come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? I told you, I'll come down myself. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm proud of y'all. I really am. Look at me. I canceled the sentence. You know what that means. I cancel the sentence. I'm not calling for a reduction. I cancel it. You know what that means. All right. Over on that side. Sorry, I said you guys the wrong side. Over on that side, we're going to have Mindy lead you guys to the Lord. This is your greatest moment of your life. Come on. Clap for them. Clap for them. Awesome. Before we leave, if there's any person in this place, sorry, I ran a little bit long, but it's okay. If there's any person in this place and you want to stop burying your seed, you want to stop the funerals in your life, you want a refund on every funeral you have planned because you felt you had to, but this message gave you hope, I challenge you, come to this altar right now, quickly, 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 quickly. If that's you, quickly. Come on, come on, quickly, quickly. Hallelujah. Come on, they're coming, they're coming. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Come on, you want a refund. You're tired, you're tired. Come on, you want a refund on your marriage. You want a refund on your joy. You want a refund, you want a refund. Come on, come on, you want a refund. You want a refund. No more shall your joy be buried. No more shall your peace be buried. No more shall your prosperity be buried. Come on, there's a few more people. There's a few more people, come on. This is your moment right now. If I could have the pastors and the ministers. 5 more seconds. Jesus. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. The word declares in Mark 16:20, he confirmed the word with signs and wonders. This is a sign and wonder that there's a remnant of people who say no more funerals in my life. The pastors are going to pray over you. They're going to minister to you. They're going to break that yoke of funerals over your life. And you will never, look at me, you will never be the same again. You will never come back with a yoke in the name of Jesus. I command it right now in Jesus' name. Never come back with a yoke in Jesus' name. Everybody else, I love you guys. You guys are dismissed. Do not miss next week. But if you want, you can stay. You can worship. But remember, the funeral has stopped in your life. Come on, come on. If you're at the altar, receive, receive. As we worship, as we worship. Come on, receive, receive in Jesus' name. Come on, receive. Yes, God. Yes, God. Receive.